You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 1. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you again and again for your time. That you give to us, that we could have the time to take advantage of all that you created us for, that we would have the benefit, and that you would have the glory. And our God, we thank you very, very much. So deal with us even now, in the light of all the hours that lie ahead. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. We share together this morning a little bit to remind ourselves that God has had in the birth of his Son to bring us good tidings, good news, the gospel, to bring us good news. And that good news is so defined as great joy. Great joy. What is so, not just joy, great joy. What is so wonderful about it? What is so great? It's centered, God has given the great joy, is found in God's wonderful person, verse 11, chapter 2 of Luke. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, Christ the Lord. God has provided himself to glorify himself and to bring us into the place that he created us for. He created us to know him and to honor him. That's why we're created. That's why Christ died on the cross. That's why he became a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, etc. Why? In order to bear our sin in his own body on the tree, to take our place, so that we could enter into God's good news. The good news is God has given his Son. God has given himself in order that we could be restored, that we could be brought into the place to enjoy God's awesome person. That's what it's all about. And therefore, as we did what we tried to do in the light of our Lord in Luke chapter 2, we shared together to remind us that God, all news, television, radio, person talking, thinking, listening, seeing, doesn't make any difference. All the collection of information and activity that is to be found in our life on a daily basis, morning, noon, and night, all of it is in a state of variation. And the one moment we have better news, and then there's good news, and then there's bad news. Things are all right, and then things they aren't all right. And when we're all done, all of the good news is lost in the middle of the bad news, because the bad news takes away from us the good news. So, in the light of that, and then we die. And then we die. That's bad news if you don't know the Lord. That's terribly bad news. Now, so God, why is it good news and great joy? With great joy, in great good news, great joy. Because God is telling us, as we shared, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we are involved on planet Earth. coming and going, eating and drinking, work, home, school, play. That's what we are. All of that is going up and down. Depends on the weather, depends on what the news is, depend on how work goes, depend how school goes, depend how everything goes. Up and down, up and down, up and down. God has given good news so that heaven is telling us God is the good news for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's the good news. At any given moment, whether it's good or bad, God is the good news. In all the good, in all the good news, human good news, God is the good news. Because the good news humanly is going to change. How do we handle, how are we to handle our journey through time in the light of the gospel? Good news. God is going to be the good news. 24 hours a day, as we shared, each day of the week, God is the good news. Now, having said that, in the light of that, John chapter 1, keeping in mind the giver, God the giver, is the gift. The gift is the giver. So when we're looking for God to give, to God to provide, where are we looking? Where are we going to find this provision? God, this out here is going to give us this and that. All of that is related to earth and varies, and it comes and it goes. You have enough to eat, then you don't have enough to eat, etc. You feel good, then you don't feel good. All of that comes and goes. God is the good news, and he is the giver. And the good news is none other than God himself. The gift of God is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the good news. Putting that together, easy. John chapter 1. And in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And you will remember now, when the Gospel of John, we just finished that. And here's the Gospel of John, and sliding down in the light of everything, to verse 10. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came on, that's the whole world we live in. All different countries, etc., people. Verse 11, the Jews. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They crucified him with the world. Contrast, the invitation. Looking back all through history, John is way back, looking at a 95 AD approximately, way back there, looking back into all of the Old Testament. All of the New Testament that you have is all there except for what he's doing. So, verse 12, as many in the light of all of history, in the light, but as many as received him, the reception, you have to receive. You can say, I accept Christ. You can say that, but you may not be saved. Except, depends how you want to work out the definition. I can accept a whole lot of things. I do not have to have any relationship to them whatsoever. I can accept you, I can accept that, and have no relationship. When I receive something, then I have to have a relationship. If I drink the water, I have to receive it. When I receive it, there's no question I have a relationship to it because the water is down in my stomach. Wow, I received. You need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. have to receive. A gift has to be received in order to be appropriated properly. Therefore, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. Now, having received him, who and what did we receive? He is the gift. The gift is the giver. Verse 14, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, our Lord Jesus Christ, God becoming human, born in Bethlehem of Judea. And he's going to come and he is going to bring to us grace of God and the fullness of God, God in his totality, he's going to bring to us. And that grace, the giving of God, totally unmerited favor, God gives to you and to me to be saved, to know him, to receive him. What did we do to earn, to merit? Nothing. What do we ever deserve? No way on earth. We don't. It's the grace of God that God does. And that grace, where is it found? In the person of the Word become flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ brings to us God in his fullness, in his giving of himself to have his favor. He does that. He gives us grace. He's giving himself. So when you slide down now to verse 16, as you know, and in his, of his fullness have we received grace for grace. There's your word receive, not accept, receive. You have to receive him. And what are you going to do when you receive him? You're going to receive God's grace, God's favor. Where is the favor found? In Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us. So when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, he's going to give me grace upon grace upon grace. Verse 16, day after day, repeated, like we shared 1,000 times, like the waves in the ocean, they never stop. They just keep coming. That's the word. In grace, in place of grace, in place of grace, in place of grace. God's wonderful, wonderful grace. God's giving of himself, always himself, in his grace. Now, keeping that in mind, and God, he's the good news. The good news is God is going to be everything and all that we need on planet Earth. In the midst of all the other news, God's the good news. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and you know it, put it together over, if I can, to Romans. And in Romans in chapter 6, as you know, Romans in chapter 6, picking up in verse 23 directly. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through or in Jesus Christ our Lord. So God has given us a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to know and honor him in a most awesome, awesome way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God's going to do what he does the way he does it. Now, our Lord is going to go and make it possible. He's going to go to the cross and die. On his way to the cross, he's going to spend 3 1/3 years training, encouraging, and going up and down the land to his disciples, etc. What is he going to do? He's going to help them understand what is God, why did God create us, to be able to honor him and know him. That God is everything, all we need. God is the good news. Now, Having said that God is the good news, our Lord's going to demonstrate how are we supposed to enjoy the good news? How are we supposed to appropriate the good news in the midst of all news? Over if I can, please. Over to the Gospel of John and chapter 5. The Gospel of John and chapter 5. He's going to illustrate for them how does the perfect man, he's going to show us how do you enjoy God's good news? How do you enjoy God's everything as we go down the corridor of time? So, you know, John chapter 5, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 19. I'm going to read verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, they want, now because they're saving, remember verse 18, the end, God was his Father, making himself equal with God. He was enjoying God as God, the God-man. But in his perfect humanity, he's demonstrating what are we supposed to do in enjoying our relationship to God. Think of the Sunday school with the apple and the golden apple and all of that. Now, if I can, in verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, amen, amen, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. He represents God the Father. He's here to represent and enjoy God in his most wonderful way, in a most wonderful way. Now, in chapter 5, sliding over, as you would guess, verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just. Why? Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. God created humans to enjoy and reflect their Creator. God created humans, his image and likeness. Humans are to reflect the Creator, God. Jesus Christ, the perfect man, is perfectly going to do what? He's going to demonstrate his wonderful relationship to God perfectly. And what does he do? He understands he's representing all that we're supposed to be. So that God is telling us, showing us himself. Now, God's going to say, show us, that he represents the Father. The Father is going to take care of everything. The Father is going to be known and discovered and honored by way of our Lord Jesus Christ. So our Lord's going to go and demonstrate the Father. Now, in the process of all of that, he does nothing. He represents the Father. He represents the good news for people on earth to understand that a perfect man, boy, girl, man, or woman that we are to get saved, is to enjoy God. To enjoy God amidst the bad news. To be able to go down the corridor of time amidst the bad news, having the good news. So, and we're going to go. Now, and just a little parenthesis, when do we ever have an inkling that Jesus Christ was in need? Jesus Christ was depressed, discouraged, disappointed, was overwhelmed. The enemy, the people, the problems. When was he ever overwhelmed? Never. Never. He enjoyed God the Father. And he honored God the Father in the midst of his journey through time. Tried to kill him and do all the things, But he never had an army. He never had a roof over his head. He never had a job. He never had anything. He just represented God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So, and that's what he did. And that was, he set the example. He showed us. He showed us how to do, to have, to be in all of his wonderful, wonderful work. And outworking that in all of its wonder, God, you're going to go, and here we are. God is going to, remember, in his ministry, he's going to speak to the people, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He's going to speak to them. They want a king, but they don't want a savior. So God said, listen, if you want me to be king, as it were, and you want to do it without the cross for you to get saved and to walk in darkness, to be dead in sins, and you still want me to be your king while you're dead, while you're in darkness, I'm going to tell you how it's going to go. The kingdom, if God is in charge, you need to know, blessed are they, etc., 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 chapter 5, chapter 6 of Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 6, picking up if I may, what are you going to tell them? Chapter 6, and in the process, picking up if I can, verse 8. I'll read verse 7 for context. And when you pray, use not your vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. If you say it over and over and over and over and over and over again, God, it does something. Spin the prayer wheel. The more you spin the prayer wheel, the prayers. Say you, whatever you do. And say, oh, you think you can do it. Do it. The more you do it, the more it'll count. No, it won't. No, it won't. Won't do you any good. Won't do you any good. No. That's the background for verse 8. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Before you ask him. God knows. We shared this morning that. God knows everything of 1,000 years ago and all of your life to where you are right now. God knows everything. God knows it. God is knowing everything about all the rest of your days. God is knowing the present moment. God is all-knowing, all about you. So there's nothing God doesn't know. So God knows your needs. You don't know, and he knows, well, I don't know them. God knows them. God knows what you're going to need tomorrow morning. God does. So we're looking for the good news to be able to get through the bad news. Chapter 6, as you would know, and picking it up, verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, therefore, take no thought, divided your mind, divided, worried, split up, going 10 different directions. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? What shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? The basic needs, we gotta meet all our needs. Verse 32, for after all these things, do the Gentiles seek? For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God's very conscious of it. So what our Lord, what did you do? Everything, whatever it was, God, Lord Jesus Christ perfectly looked to God to outwork his day. He was representing God. What are we supposed to do? We come to know the Lord as our Savior, And God is going to do what? He's going to go, and we're supposed to enjoy the good news. The good news, the joy, the great joy. And to rejoice evermore, which is the root verb for all of these, joy and grace. Wow. So we're to enjoy a marvelous thing as we go. We got all kinds of needs and all kinds of problems, but we're going to look to God for the good news. God is the good news. See? We aren't looking for whatever. God is the good news. God. Just Him, just God. And here's all the good and bad. But what do we know about the good and bad news on planet Earth? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. All things work together for good. To them love God, they're called according to His purpose. God. So, God, you're going to work it out. I'm going to work it out, inch by inch. And we need to have that kind of simple trust, having received Christ as our Savior. He is the gift. He brings everything to us in a most wonderful, wonderful way for everything to be outworked to His honor, for His honor, and for His glory. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if I can, and remember what we did in John, John 15, you may want to turn there just to help to do it. John chapter 15 again. And in John chapter 15, you'll remember, the Lord said, "But I do nothing of myself." So when I come to know the Lord, when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift, the giver in the gift, when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I receive Him. When I receive Him as my Savior, He brings the grace of God, the favor of God, into bring it to us. So God is going to do what He's going to do. He's going to be good. He's going to work things out in a good, in a way to honor Him. And it's good news. He is the good news. So the good news, I'm going to look to God to outwork what all things have to work together for good. Now, God, when I receive the Lord as my Savior, then what do you tell us? John 15 and verse 5. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. You abide like in the tree. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And by the way, for without me, you can do nothing. Now He's telling us, the Lord Jesus set the pace. I of my own self, I look to God the Father to outwork His wonderful will in my life. He's going to go and take care. I am the Son to represent the Father on planet Earth. We are the sons of God in Jesus Christ because of Him, to be represent the Father. That's what we're doing. And our Father is supposed to what? Take care of us. That's supposed to do. He's the good news. So that's what He's supposed to do. So now, having said that, so we're looking to our Father. And all the bad news we face, it, pain, headache, heartache, whatever you got, work, homeschool, we got it. But then we got good news. Our Lord Himself is the good news. So we're looking to a good God to be good, to do our work as good, in a good way, however it is. And you may be sick for 3 or 4 days, 3 or 4 months. You may have a sickness that never goes away. But God is good news, no matter how you cut it, because no matter what's going to happen, your days are numbered. God knows the need. God knows the problem. God wants His will to be outworked in your life. And if He wants you to run 1,000 miles, He's going to see that you have the legs to do it. If you don't need to run 10 feet, then God's going to cover the bases to make sure you have all your needs. Therefore, since you're in John, Since you're in John, over to John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, picking up, please. And you'll recall, and the way to get this is to understand. Remember what we looked at this morning in that, Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Moses wanted to know how he tells the Israelites and Pharaoh about God. Egyptians have all their idols and pyramids and gods. Moses wants to know how he explains the invisible God to the people. And our Lord told them, I am who I am. I am who I am. I always am who I am. I can never be other than who I am. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, I am. God is just who he is. And I need to understand, and you need to understand, we all need to understand, God is going to be always who he is. He's the good news. Now, so when I am that I am, and we did this, and I am. And so God looks, if we did it, I'll do it just a couple here, you'll see it. John chapter 6, I am that I am. And remember, we used to have a little sheet you had, and you put I am, a divided line, and you fill in I am, and then there's a blank space. And you put there, I am. And you put whatever it is, the need, whatever it is, your problem, you put it there. And I am to you all that you need. I am to you. I always am to you all that you need. I am. I am the, John 6:35, I am the bread of life. I am. I am the water. I'll read it, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Never thirst. Never have a problem. Wow. No. No, I am. I am that I am. John chapter 8. Remember they're talking and the Lord Jesus helps them understand. John chapter 8. And picking up in verse 58. Jesus said unto them, remember they're saying, how you aren't even that old, he said. And then Jesus gave the answer to them. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. I am. I am. Back over to John chapter 6 for a moment. In John chapter 6, picking up, please, you'll catch it in verse 48. I am that bread of life. I am. Verse, and your fathers did eat manna of the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. It's God, God giving wonderful life. He's the Word. He gives us the gift of eternal life. He is eternal life. I am the living bread, verse 51, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I'm going to go to the cross and die. So God says, listen, I'm the end. I'm the answer. But then we want to talk about, well, what are you going to give me, God? God said, I'm here. What are you going to give me? What do I need? God said, I am the answer. I am your need. What do I need, God? I need you. Abide. Except you abide in me and I in you, like the tree and the branch, you can't do anything. So if I'm going to go, God, what did I learn? What did I learn about all the giving and coming and going? And Christmas, what did I learn? God, you're the gift. The gift, that's why you're the good news. Wonderfully, wonderfully good news to us in every wonderful way. Now, having said that, so God, what are we going to do? Well, you're going to go and help us understand how to enjoy your wonderful, wonderful person, your riches and your resources. You provide it all. You are going to be the perfect provider. Over, if I can, in the light of that, over to Deuteronomy. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy and chapter 28, and pick up a thought for us. Israel had an awesome, wonderful relationship to God if they would ever enjoy it. David enjoyed it, but not many. Maybe a couple of others that we know that he wrote about that God mentions, but they didn't do it. God said, if you honor me and my word, I'm going to go, chapter 28. And you will notice, chapter 28, and in verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. God, and what are you going to do? God's going to make them special. And that's the trouble. That's part of our national problem. We got a whole people that have been educated through years and years of college and everything, system, to what? That we have no right to be special. We aren't 200 years old. Nations are hundreds of years old. We're just a little pipsqueak out there. And we've had everything. And we have no right to have everything. That you just, if I was join the club. And we have no right to have it. You don't deserve it. We're taking it all. That's what they're doing. They're taking it all away. You don't deserve it. It doesn't matter whether they go down with the same problems that are going to come. It doesn't matter. The main thing, we're committed to bring about that which we're committed to. And they are. Too bad Christians weren't committed like that. They're committed. Wow. Now, here's Deuteronomy 28 and verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And God, and then you list them, whole pile. Wherever you go, in and out, up and down, whatever it is, and blessed, verse 6, blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, blessed shall thou be when thou goest out, blessed, blessed, blessed. What a wonderful person. Life it would be. Israel was to be special. God was special. God was their God. God was the good news. They were exercising our Lord. Example, exercise the good news. He exercised a relationship to God and God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful person. And he did it. So the world problems, the government, Rome, Herod, no, what do you mean? Crucifixion, that's not an issue. No, God. God was the good news in the midst of all of it. And God's good news overrode everything and everyone. And who wins in the end? God does. God wins. God does. Because we're all going to die, or the Lord's going to come at any moment, I hope, and whatever, and we're going to go. And he wins. He's going to win. It's going to come out. He comes out on top, no matter how you cut the cookie. Now, so having said that, Deuteronomy, and thinking about that, as you might, all of God's wonderful, wonderful grace and riches. Over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, if I may, and you will note, in Ephesians, God's wonderful, wonderful grace. Now, and by the way, the grace of God, it's the key. And you'll notice all the letters, I'm just going to point it out in Ephesians. The first part, when you begin. Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Corinthians. What do you do? You're always going to find. What are you going to find to the churches? What do the churches need to hear in the letter, in God's word, as he writes to the Corinth and Antioch and Jerusalem? What does he say to them? Chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. No matter what it is, grace be unto you. Why? Because God's given us grace upon grace upon grace. What is the grace going to do? Grace is going to bring the wonderful person of Christ, who's the gift. He is the gift. And you need to receive him. You need to receive all that he would be to you, in you, and for you. I need to be receiving. John chapter 1, verse 16. Receiving grace upon grace upon grace. I go to bed, get up in the morning, and grace. Go to work, school, grace. Go to bed, cycle. I'm looking for God, grace. Whatever it is, that's what we're doing. And therefore you come to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Deuteronomy chapter 28, the blessings. Here we are, Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and who hath blessed us with all, A-L-L, spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, in Christ, in heaven. Heaven's good news overrides all earth's bad news. And God has done what? We don't have Deuteronomy 28. We have God. Deuteronomy 28 is what God would do for Israel if they would believe. God has given his son. And when we received him as our Savior, we received the good news. We received what? God's blessing. The blessed God is going to bring all of his wonderful plan and purpose to make it real and right and practical into your life in a most wonderful, wonderful way. That's what God's going to do. God's going to bless you. And any question? Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. His grace. There's your word grace. What about it? Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The word accepted is highly favored, highly graced. Not just grace, highly graced. And remember we shared in Luke chapter 1, this is the Virgin Mary. She is, that's the only other place this word is used. And she is highly favored. She's graced. Of all the women, she is most special. God, there's no question. And the church, which is his body, his bride, they are most special. They are his body. And he is going to, they are accepted, they are highly favored. Not just favored, highly favored in God's wonderful grace. That's what they are. Highly. And you should be glad for it. And not pompous, but glad. And you know from 1 Corinthians without turning there. Verse 29, no flesh shall glory in his presence. And verse 30, God has made Christ your righteousness, sanctification, everything. And then, since God has made Christ everything, verse 31, and if you're going to glory, you're going to boast, you want to talk about what it is that's so wonderful, boast and glory about our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the good news. Honor him. Why are you blessed? Because of him. Why are you favored? Because of him. Why do you have good news? Because of him. That's why. That's why. Good news. Now, and therefore, the outworking, chapter 3, and in chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 20, 3 and 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above, exceeding abundantly above all. See, God's able to tell you, what God does is awesome. Wow. So God, what are you going to do? God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, the dynamo that works in us. So God, what are you going to do? I'm looking for you to outwork your good news at work, home, school, health, wealth. I'm going to struggle through and work through it. And God, you're going to have to outwork what you want in the midst of all the news. That's what you're going to do. Wow. Now, God, what are we going to do? That's what you want. Therefore, our Christmas Eve gift, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, if I can. And in 2 Corinthians, if I can find it, 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, and you are going to guess right. Now, you have, as you know, as you read through the context in that, you come to verse 14, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. So here's the Corinthians, etc. And they're looking for the, what are we looking for? In people, in believers. I'm looking for the grace of God. I'm not looking for whatever your IQ is or anything else. I want to know the grace of God. Are you saved? Are you wonderfully, wonderfully saved? That's what I want to know. That's what's important. Oh, I'm doing my thing. Go do your thing, but you're going to lose out. Now, so 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God. Why? For his unspeakable, unutterable, indescribable, extraordinary, too overwhelming to be expressed, to be described. It's beyond words. His unspeakable gift, our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you explain that gift? It's unspeakable. I just gave you a half a sentence to think about it. The gift of God. God is the gift. God, how do we explain how great thou art, God? How do we do that? And interestingly, as you know, chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And the word thanks is the word grace. Exactly. Thanks, grace. Why is that true? Because if we receive the grace of God, what are we going to do? We receive the grace of God. And when we receive the grace of God into our head and heart in the person of Christ, we say thank you. Our response, if you've received grace, thank you. Thank you for your grace. There it is, same word, grace. Grace. God, you graced me. You made me highly favored. Graced. The church is graced, highly favored. Thank you. Closing, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians and chapter 2. Picking up, if I may. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 when you begin this wonderful section in 2 Corinthians, and remember when we did this, and in 2 Corinthians and chapter, going directly, verse 14. Now, thanks, there's your little word, the same word we just looked at in 9:15, grace. Now, grace, thanks be unto God. Why? Which always causes us to triumph in Christ. And we're always, because we're what? We're living under God's grace, His good news. God is good. All things work together for good. It all has to come out good. For in the light of heaven, it has to come out right as God intended it in our lives as we grow and know. Therefore, verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest, clear, public, plain, easy to see, the savor, the fragrance of what? Of His knowledge. The God? God is our good news. How so? By us in every place. By us in every place. Every place we go. We're under what? God's good news? Living in the midst of all the news that everyone else lives in. But we have good news. We have light to see the darkness. So the darkness is there and the world's all trying to work it out. But we're in the light, in the right, God's good news. That's why we can proceed safely, comfortably down the corridor of time. God, the gift of God is God Himself. God Himself is the gift. The gift is God Himself. God Himself. I'm the unspeakable gift, God said. Wow. That's God's gift. Of all the gifts, got to get something, got to have something. Maybe, maybe not. I know when I was probably little, I used to look for things. I don't know. I don't look for anything. No, sir. No. In fact, I would like you all to come to my house and get rid of as much stuff as I could. I'm going to let you open the door and you can be a crook. You can wear a mask and take whatever you want and get it out of that house. You see? No. The greatest gift, I already have it. If you're saved, so do you. You can't beat it. Our Father and God, thank you for your word, your work, working in your grace. God, as we just thought a little bit about this Christmas season and giving and getting and receiving, God, help us understand. Help us understand and exercise what we understand in a very practical way. Deal with the sick, the needy. God, help us each one in the way that only you can do. In Christ's name, amen.